Hello everyone, it's Thursday the 13th of December 2012 and this is the Ontology Summit 2013 pre-launch community input and planning session. My name is Matthew West and I'm chairing this session and speaking today will be Professor Michael Gruninger, who is the co-chair, general co-chair for the Ontology Summit this year. What I'd like to do to start is if we go around and introduce ourselves, I'll start just to give you a hint, but otherwise if we could do it in the order that you appear in the SOAP Hub, so that would be starting with Alan Rector and then in order down the list. That will save everyone having to call out and everyone knows when it's their turn. So, my name's Matthew West. I'm a director of Information Junction, but before that I had 30 years working for Shell in data modeling, data management and data quality. And since then I've written a book on developing high quality data models. Next, Alan.
I'm Alan Rector. I'm from the University of Manchester. I work mainly in medical and biomedical applications, particularly with medical terminologies and their links to electronic health records.
Alex?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, great. I'm from State Geological Museum of Russian Academy of Science. We're developing ontology for petrology and petrography areas, and it would be very interesting to participate in ontology evaluation. That's it.
Amanda?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Amanda Weisdom. I'm a ontologist at large. Yes?
Oh, I just wanted to let everyone know, no one is muted now, so you don't have to ask if people can hear.
Okay.
You. Sorry, start all over.
Thank you. Okay. Amanda Weisdom, freelance ontologist at large at the moment, with a lot of applied ontology development and design experience and a long-standing interest over the past few years in moving ontology evaluation forward.
Thank you. And Natalie.
Anatoly Levinchuk, Tech Invest Lab consultancy. We work with ISO 15926K in Russia. And this is our ontology interest. We have a software that deals with ISO 15926. Sure, we evaluate ontologies almost every day.
David.
Good afternoon, here from Portugal. My name is David Mendes. I am a PhD student working within researching ontology application to biomedical clinical practice mainly. I'm a newcomer now because I'm doing this research from 2 years now, and I'm very happy to be here. If someone needs some natural language processing helps, I'm here to help everybody. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Fabian.
Hello, everybody. My name is Fabian Neuhaus. I work for the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and this is the bread and butter of NIST is the measurement sciences, so you're naturally very interested in evaluation of ontologies.
Gary.
Yes, this is Gary Bode for us. Hello, everybody. I'm a cognitive psychologist. I am part of the Spatial Ontology Community of Practice. We hold annual workshops, and we participated in many VOCAMP workshops. I've also participated in several of the previous ontology summits.
Thank you. Javier.
Or Javier, I would assume.
Perhaps. Can you hear me? Are you able to speak? We can't hear you at the moment. Okay, we'll move on to John. Javier, if you can make a noise at some point, just chip in and let us know who you are. John, would you like to take up the cudgels?
Okay, this is John Bateman. I'm at the University of Bremen in Germany and also representing the International Association of Ontology and its applications. One of my main interests are spatial ontology, linguistic and language ontology, natural language processing, and coming out of that heterogeneous ontologies, the different kinds of ontologies coming together, and also natural language processing. For the summit, I'm particularly interested in what we can learn from other communities who are not mainly perhaps in the ontology area but have a lot of experience in evaluation. I think that will be important for us to keep open to that.
Okay, thank you. Leo.
My name is Leo Oberst. I work for MITRE in Northern Virginia, USA. I've been involved for quite some time in ontology development and deployment, formal semantics and natural language processing, and automated reasoning. And of course, I have a strong interest going back a number of years in ontology evaluation. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Gruninger, and I will be the co-chair along with Matthew for this year's Ontology Summit. I'm also the president-elect for the International Association of Ontology Applications. I've been working in ontologies for quite a few years, and I've been involved in each of the ontology summits that we've had. This will be our eighth. And also quite involved with work in ontology repositories and ontology verification.
Thank you. Mike.
I'm Mike Dean from I'm a computer scientist at Raytheon BBN Technologies, where I work primarily with ontologies in the semantic web. Like Gary, I'm a member of OCOP. I'm also part of the Open Ontology Repository Initiative, and I'm quite interested in developing quantitative methods for evaluating.
Okay, thank you. You're echoing quite a bit, so that possibly would be cured if you used headphones.
Yeah, it may not be him. I mean,
oh, okay, that's also possible. Yeah. That's also possible.
Right. So,
it helps if you use headphones on these sessions because it stops the feedback dead. Okay, Ono.
Hello, I'm Ono Pratt from Clear Corporation. Clear is a large engineering contractor. We have all kinds of capital facilities. I am one of the editors of ISO 196, which is an engineering anthology. Thank you.
Peter.
I'm Peter Yim, one of the co-conveners of OntoLock, along with Leo Oberst and Kurt Conrad, and I'm the stagehand. I'm trying to get the infrastructure and facility going for these sessions.
Thank you. Ram.
Yeah, this is Ram Sriram from NIST. I am a chief of the Software and Systems Division and will be the host of the final summit meeting here in January sometime. I have a constraint. I'll have to leave in about 20 minutes or 15 minutes or so. So, Peter, before I just need to make sure that we have zeroed in on the dates.
Right. This is what Matthew would want to maybe come to when before you leave. Ram probably have a couple of candidate dates or something about the final dates that we might be able to pick. So maybe after.
Yeah.
This
we have to pick from. We have to pick from.
You're right. Okay. In January, April. Okay.
Yeah. It would be good if you could put if you have some available dates.
Maybe I think you get the rest of the introductions, but
yeah, indeed.
I'm looking at whether you have to decide whether you guys want to do it on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. January.
That's
third
fine.
Week of April should be okay. Then I need to tell my secretary to look into this thing. So.
Okay. We'll get to that later on then, I'm sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Ram. Richard.
Yes, Richard Martin. I'm a information systems analyst. I've been working a lot with ISO in the last 10 years, and I've been more recently working to try and get engineers from various disciplines to interoperate and dealing with the difficulties of term use among various disciplines.
Thank you. Robert.
Yes, my name is Robert Rovetto. I studied ontology at University of Buffalo and am currently looking for academic study or employment opportunities. Thanks for having me and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you. Rosario.
Hi, everybody. This is Rosario Yucida Sosa. I'm a researcher here in IBM Research, IBM TJ Watson in New York. I've been working a number of years in modeling of all sorts, from UML to ontologies. And, you know, of course, I've been working on ontologies and, you know, even semantic verification processes for a number of years. I'm mostly interested in this notion of usability, what makes an ontology usable. I think this is the main hurdle for this technology to move forward, and I'm looking forward to the summit.
Okay, thank you. Simon.
I am Simon Spiro. I am a computer scientist and information scientist. I have a particular interest in the quality control and hybrid human and machine assisted repair of controlled vocabularies and by extension ontologies. I'm also interested in methods for developing automated and automatable test cases for ontology development within single and multiple groups so that you can use agile methods.
Thank you. Steve.
Yes, I'm Steve Ray, a longtime ontology advocate, and more recently am affiliated with the Silicon Valley campus of Carnegie Mellon University and getting increasingly involved in ontology evaluation, where I'm reverse engineering UML standards into ontologies and using various techniques to evaluate them as OWL models.
Okay. Terry.
Yeah, I'm Terry Longstreth. I'm a longtime member of the database community and have been a member of Onlog Forum for about the last 4 or 5 years. And attended the summits. I'm a pro bono consultant, retired from Lockheed Martin and IBM, and I'm also involved in the interoperability issues with the NCOIC and the ISO effort to create ontology interoperability called InterIOP. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Till.
Yeah, I'm Till Mafakowski. I'm a computer scientist from Bremen, Germany. I'm interested in heterogeneous ontologies. I have created the heterogeneous tool set, so a heterogeneous verification tool. I'm also head of the IOP, ontology integration and interoperability ISO standard. And recently we have set up this OntoHub portal, which basically aims at making BioPortal heterogeneous.
Okay, thank you. Todd.
Howdy. Todd Schneider. I work for Raytheon. I do stuff. I've been a member of Ontolog for a while. I work with Terry, and unfortunately Hans Polzer is not here, on interoperability issues in the network-centric sort of operations. I'm also working on the terminology committee for IAOA and continually, shall we say, amused by the inability of people in this community to use semantics properly when we communicate with each other. I am hoping that this particular summit will help ease my pain in trying to convince people that the use of ontologies is very doable and the thing that should be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Savita, if that's correctly pronounced. Can you hear?
Hello. I'm Savita.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Zubeda. My research interests include foundational ontology. I'm currently working on my master's, which involves creating a repository of foundational ontologies, and I'm looking possibly in the near future integrated with the Open Ontology Repository Initiative.
Okay, thank you. Darwood. No, is Darwood there? Okay, sorry, oh, that's part of your name, sorry. Okay, thank you. Diana, you snuck in a little bit after everyone else, but you still need to introduce yourself. Hello, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm here, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, hi. I'm at CyberShare Center of Excellence at University. Okay. I am just interested in seeing how people are progressing with developing ontologies and how they're working with the scientific community to make progress in that area.
Okay. Thank you. Joanne, I think you're also someone who's snuck in a little bit. Joanne Luciano?
I was on mute, sorry.
That's okay.
So my name is Joanne Luciano. I'm a research professor at Rensselaer Polytech Institute. I've been working in ontologies for about almost a decade and a half now. And while I was at MITRE, I started doing some research in ontology evaluation and developing a framework within which all the different types of evaluation could be placed. And I'm interested in continuing that research as well as facilitating or helping in other ways of data quality and reuse in particular.
Okay, thank you. Pavitra.
Hi, I'm Pavitra, and I'm a computer science person. I'm interested in learning or doing research in interoperability area, for ontology, using ontology, and I'm interested in seeing how it involves in the summit.
Okay, thank you. And Tom, I think. Tom Tinsley?
Yes, I just signed on a minute ago. Yep. I'm an enterprise architect. I've been in the IT industry for many years. My perspective is sort of the broad view that you'd expect from an enterprise architect. And I've been following and participating a little bit, but mainly following what's been going on in the ontology arena because of the modeling. Enterprise architects are all about models. And what I've learned and what I see is that I believe that ontology definitions and the whole control will wind up, that will be what IT is about. That the whole concepts of what we do today in IT will have a tendency to fall more into a routine kind of efforts. And the real control of all of what we do, which is true of enterprise architecture, is models. And the models are going to be done using an ontology language such as AL.
Okay, thank you. Javier, have you managed to get yourself able to speak? No, still. Okay. Is there anyone I've missed? I think that I've covered everyone, but if I've missed you, would you like to introduce yourself now?
It's Ken Mikulski, and then there's probably around three or four people who are on the call and not on the chat.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Ken.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Ken Mikulski. I'm a professor of computer science at Northeastern University. I've been involved in ontologies for about more than 20 years. So I'm interested in a lot of aspects of ontologies, but in particular, I'm interested in the Open Ontology Repository, on which I've been working for some time. And I'm also interested in the semantic aspects of wikis and hoping to talk a little bit about that at some point next week as we move to a more semantic wiki for the Ontology Summit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think I've missed Jack Ring as well.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I am somewhat different. I spend my time helping people create systems, and our major problem is that most human beings don't understand each other. So the systems they create turn out to be problematic. We are exploring various ways of helping human beings interoperate, and hopefully ontologies may be one way of doing that. So we're here to say that we're interested in learning what you all are up to and having you give us some guidance about how to achieve interoperability of systems.
Okay, thank you. I see Marcella has just logged on. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can indeed.
Hi, my name is Marcela Vegetti. I'm from Argentina. I'm working in the representation of the activities that are executed during development ontology development processes in order to trace the design rationale.
Okay, thank you. Now, if there's anyone who's on the call but whose name I haven't called out because they're not on the soap pub, would you like to introduce yourself now, please?
Yes, I'm Ed Lowry. I've worked in language design with IBM and Digital Equipment Corporation for many years before retiring. I'm interested in using ontology-like information for teaching technical knowledge.
Thank you. Is there anyone else out there who I've missed for whatever reason? Okay, well, thank you all very much for those introductions. It looks like we've got a good crowd in tonight, as they say. Peter is mentioning Ed Lowry. Was that... Sorry, that was Ed just now, was it?
Yes, I just read.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's okay. So I'd just like to hand over now to Michael Gruninger, who's going to take us through where we are and what we're trying to do so that we can start our brainstorming. Michael, over to you.
Thank you, Matthew. So if everyone could please download the slides, the short slide deck that we'll be using as the basis for our discussions today.
Yes, since Ram has to leave very shortly, 4 minutes or so, maybe we should sort of quickly go through the date issue.
Well, okay, I just want to go through the first slide.
Okay, please.
Because if people are new here, they won't know what these dates mean.
Okay, good.
Sorry, Ram, just a few more minutes. Okay, so if anyone can please go to slide 2. And this is primarily, again, for people who are new participants in the Ontology Summit. This is the 8th in a series of summits that we have had annually. And each summit is a series of both virtual activities that will be occurring over the next 3 months. As well as a 2-day face-to-face symposium. And this symposium has been initially, and again this year, will be held at the National Institute for Standards and Technology in Gaithersburg, Maryland. So that is where we then come up to Ram Sriram's point, who is one of the symposium co-chairs. So again, these are the dates. We will be having virtual sessions. Can people still hear me?
Yes, you can hear me.
So we'll be having virtual sessions weekly on Thursdays, January through March. And this will be culminating, like I said, in a 2-day face-to-face symposium in April. And so what we need to do quickly before Ram leaves is identify these 2 days. I would personally prefer to see a Thursday-Friday 2-day, I guess potentially being April 11th and 12th. Other suggestions are welcome now.
That sounds fine to me. The main thing I would probably have said is not a Monday and Tuesday, but...
Right.
Uh, that would. Are there any other views on dates?
The 11th and 12th April is a bit close to Easter.
Easter is on March
31st.
The 30th, yeah. That's nearly 2 weeks away, so.
Okay, so again, this is Ram here. In case these dates are not available, how about the next week after that, 18th and 19th?
I just need
three choices, 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
I guess 18th and 19th would be possible.
Yeah. And would 16th and 17th be a third possibility? How is Thursday and Friday particularly important for you, Michael?
No, I guess why don't we have them traditionally at the beginning or end of a week? I think just mainly for travel purposes.
Yeah.
I suppose there'd be nothing wrong with having 2 days in the middle of the week. And what are people's comments on that?
Hi, this is Leo. Yeah, I think for local attendees, having it not on a Friday would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I can see that.
Also Monday.
Yeah, Monday and Friday, yes, are bad for local people. I can see that.
Okay, so I guess
traditionally, this is Ram here. Traditionally, we've been having either Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. That has been the tradition, isn't it?
That's been the convention. But sounds like we're thinking outside the box today.
This is allowed. Well,
in case, can you send me an email on possible dates, Michael, after you finish, so that I can get my secretary to act on that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that, but I have another conflict right away. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay, then, bye.
How about we give him the 8th, the 9th and 10th, 10th and 11th, 16th and 17th, 17th and 18th, then, as possible pairs of days?
So, that sounds good, except for the 9th and 10th part.
Okay, well, then, cross those. Is it the 9th wrong?
Yeah.
Or?
So 11th and 12th would be possible, 16th and 17th.
17th and
18th. 18th, 19th, I guess. These would be the four pairs of days.
Those all look reasonable. Does anyone have an objection to any of those dates?
Surely not.
Something that we would clash with in particular.
If anybody knows, I mean, huge conferences related to what we're doing. That clashes. If not, maybe Michael, could you capture the rank preferences onto the chat?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of ironic because I knew we wouldn't have enough time to discuss this so before Rom left. So it's something we could have left at the end of the meeting. But oh well.
Yeah. Well, at least it got us thinking. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I mean, so we've got 10, 11, 16, 17, 17, 18 as proposed dates. Okay. I guess just push on then.
Okay. Just a sec here. Now I'm typing in dates.
Okay.
So it was 11th and
12th. I had 10th and 11th, but... To avoid the Friday, but...
Oh, were we avoiding all the Fridays? Okay.
Well, that was the plea from Leo.
Okay. Well, the 10th and 11th actually were not good, so...
Oh, I thought it was the 9th. Okay. Then it has to be 11th and
12th. 16, 17...
17, 18. 17, 18. So make it in order then, 16, 17, 17, 18, and 11, 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we can't do the others, and then the locals will have to put up with it if we can't do the previous two dates. Is that fair?
I thought it was 10th and 11th.
That's difficult for Michael.
Yeah. I'm still in classes. Okay.
Okay. Then I think that... makes sense.
All right, well, let's see. Now if we can get back to our regularly scheduled program.
I'll put it in the chat.
Oh,
I got the symposium page there.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments before we get back? All right. Okay, so back to slide two. So as I introduced, the Ontology Summit is kind of this unique combination of virtual and face-to-face activities. This year's summit, in particular, is co-organized by a number of organizations, the first of all being Ontolog, second, NIST, National Institute for Standards and Technology, NCORE, the National Center for Ontological Research, NCBO, National Center for Biomedical Ontologies, IAOA, the International Association of Ontology and its Applications, and NCO, the National Coordination Office, in particular, the Networking and Information Technology Research and Development Program. So those are all the co-organizers for this year's summit. Moving on to slide three. Again, we're going to have I'm just giving a few introductory overview points in terms of structure and process for people who are new to the summit before we get into the real meat of today's meeting, which is discussing the industry's theme and so on slide three, we have what is traditionally the Ontology Summit team. And I'm thanking Steve Ray and Peter Yim. I shamefully stole several of your slides from last year in the same general kind of process. So each summit has two general co-chairs, one of which is to be assumed by the president of the International Association of Ontology and Its Applications. And I'm currently the president-elect, taking over from Nicola Guarino on January 1st. The other co-chair is designated by the organizing committee, and this year is Matthew West, as you have heard. In addition, as I mentioned before, there is the two-day face-to-face, what we call the Ontology Summit Symposium. And this year's co-chairs are Ram Sriram from NIST and one other co-chair that we'll be designating from the organizing committee. In addition, the structure of the Ontology Summits, typically for each theme, we identify a number of tracks, which kind of focus in, zero in more detail on specific subtopics related to the theme. And within each track hosts a particular virtual event, one or two virtual events in January, February, March. And then all of these come together to form a communique. This is one of the big outputs that we have for the summit. And so each track, content track as we call it, will have one or two champions. And then there are two editors that are that volunteer to collect all of the outputs from each of the content tracks to put together into this document that we call the communique. So the communique will be an output from all of the virtual sessions and will be completed prior to the face-to-face symposium. And then at that symposium, there's a presentation of the communique, and this year there'll be other kinds of activities, demos. These will be things that we'll be discussing later. Demos, perhaps a hackathon, a panel discussion, and kind of ideas like that. Just further development of the theme. So the organizing committee then consists of
Michael. I just want a moment to mute everyone so that we cut down the noise and leave you and Matthew open with the mic. See, Matthew and Michael. Yes, could you try again, Michael?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Matthew?
I think I'm here as well.
Yep, all right. So just you two have an open mic now.
Okay. So, again, the organizing committee kind of comprises the content track champions, the co-chairs, as well as the communique editors. And so hopefully we'll be getting some idea of who these people will be. Finally, then there's the advisory committee, which is invited by the organizing committee to give comments on process and content. And then finally co-sponsors who are supporting this endeavor. And I'll be getting to some of these points later on in today's session. On slide four, we have the objectives for this meeting. We call this the pre-launch meeting. The purpose of the pre-launch meeting is to refine and kind of officially adopt the 2013 Ontology Summit theme, and then to brainstorm about ideas that support this theme. So I have sent out a proposed set of tracks, and the main thing today we'll be doing is discussing about those tracks. We'll be brainstorming about other ideas with the parts of the program and the process, for example, starting brainstorming on ideas for the symposium. Thirdly, we'll be kind of identifying experts to participate in the tracks, potential speakers for future tracks, and also inviting other people, perhaps as panelists for the symposium. And then finally, just kind of getting volunteers to help organize this summit. So on slide five, we have today's agenda. So we've covered the introductions and given just a brief overview of the idea of Ontology Summits. And so the second point here that I just want to kick off then is a review of these current proposals for topics and tracks for this year's theme. So I'll kind of go through these tracks, and then we can have an open discussion about the topics. And then we'll come back after kind of finalizing the different tracks. We'll come back and we'll identify potential champions and other volunteers to help join us in the organizing committee. And then finally, we'll have some summary and wrap up. So on slide six, we have this year's theme, which is ontology evaluation across the ontology lifecycle. And so this theme kind of arose, first of all, out of this recognition, even within the community, that there really is no kind of currently agreed upon methodology for developing and evaluating ontologies. Yet at the same time, everyone agrees and everyone can kind of recognize a bad ontology when they see it. And so what we wanted to address in this year's Ontology Summit is to explore different ways, different criteria that we use for evaluating ontologies. And so our fundamental goal is really to try to identify the best practices that people have for ontology development and evaluation. And we wanted to kind of look at this in the context of the overall life cycle of an ontology. The idea being that ontology evaluation is shaped by a wide range of factors, ranging from very early parts in the life cycle of gathering requirements and analyzing different requirements for ontology, through to design and all the kinds of criteria that people use when designing ontology, and all the way to the implementation, in particular in the sense that most of the time people are building domain ontologies that are supporting a particular either a soft being implemented in a software system or supporting interoperability among software systems, and effectively those ontologies are being evaluated by how well they support that kind of implementation. So we're recognizing that evaluation really hits this entire life cycle, and that's why we wanted to have that as kind of being another aspect of the theme. We kind of made this announcement a week or so ago about the theme. And based on some of the discussion that we have seen on the Ontology Summit list and other kinds of discussions, I'm just throwing out five potential tracks. And I'll just kind of go through all five tracks, and we'll open up for a wide open discussion. These are not necessarily the tracks we'll adopt. They're just five, like I say, that I extracted from the conversation online. We're free to add, delete, modify, all kinds of ideas here. So if you go to slide seven, candidate track one, is kind of titling Dimensions of Ontology Evaluation. So the idea would be that this track would be addressing notions of verification, validation, quality, ranking, metrics, essentially just trying to say, well, you know, what do people mean by ontology evaluation? You know, metrics is one word here, but there's a wide range of other kinds of ideas here. So this is really just kind of identifying the space of ideas that we want to use when talking about ontology verification, ontology evaluation. We may use some work from last year's summit. One of the tracks last year was called Ontology Quality and Large Scale Systems Synthesis. And I have the URL there for those results. And so this, you know, may perhaps be one of the inputs as one of the criteria for ontology, one of the dimensions of ontology evaluation. On slide 8, we have candidate track 2. This is also using an outcome of an earlier ontology summit. This particular one is Ontology Summit 2011, which was making the case for ontologies. One of the outputs of that summit was what was called an ontology application framework. It was essentially looking at all the different classes of applications in which ontologies were used, you know, decision support, semantic integration, standards augmentation, etc. And the URL there on the slide will take you to that complete dimension, complete characterization. And the idea to this track looks at the problem of ontology evaluation from the perspective of the application that use the ontologies. So there's widespread recognition that a critical aspect of ontology evaluation is its role within a particular application. And so one idea would be to use that framework that was an output of an earlier summit as kind of this way of looking at ontology evaluation. On slide 9, we have candidate track 3, which was titled Best Practices in Ontological Analysis. The idea being here that we would focus on evaluation that's kind of based on the ontology itself. So independently, if other tracks are looking at it in terms of applications, let's look at it in terms of just itself. So there are going to be certain logical criteria like consistency, modularity, and other ontological analysis techniques. For example, AutoQueen. And so the objective of this track would be to identify what these best practices are. On slide 10, we have candidate track 4, which is focusing a little more closely on requirements for ontology. So in other words, how do we specify the requirements against which we evaluate ontologies? Again, there was a lot of discussion on, I mean, that's kind of a critical aspect, but there's, you know, not too much work has been done in kind of identifying, you know, what do we mean by requirements? How do we state them in an unambiguous way? And also, you know, requirements management for evolving ontology. So, you know, as ontologies are being designed, new things are being discovered. People may go back, revise the requirements based on analysis that they've done during design. And so there's, you know, a lot of feedback there. And so, you know, what are some ideas for requirements management? And then finally, on slide 11, we have candidate track 5. The idea here was, with track 5, was mainly kind of what can we learn from other fields, software engineering, data management, so data quality, as Matthew mentioned before. So it kind of, you know, what are some ideas we can learn from software engineering? And another, you know, so what are some best practices for evaluation that we can adapt from these other communities? Particularly, you know, say with software development, we have, you know, distributed open source software development, you know, like with SourceForge or GitHub. And so that's why I was kind of putting in here this idea of environments for developing and evaluating ontologies. You know, people have, I think Simon had a posting earlier, you know, about the idea of unit testing, ontologies, et cetera. And so is there some way that even if we identify these best practices, how can we build environments that really support these best practices? Kind of enforce them rather than just saying, yes, we have these best practices, but no one actually used them. Build it into the current practice. So again, those are just, let's say, 5 possible tracks. Just kind of opening it up now for discussion. We have most of the rest of the meeting. I guess in terms of process for people who are new, there is on the chat session, you'll notice over on the right-hand side, you'll see everyone who's participating. On the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a hand icon. If you click the hand, that puts you into a queue for making a comment, and Matthew will be coordinating that. And then when you're finished speaking, click the hand icon again. That takes you back out of the queue. You're also everyone's free to write comments, as people have been, as you've been seeing.
Yeah.
The question.
And if you speak, please write something down about it as well, so that we remember it and we have a record of it, a written record of what you've been saying. And the other thing to say is that when you're asked to speak, you will need to hit *7 to unmute yourself, and then *6 afterwards to mute yourself again, if I got that the right way around. So Rosario, if you unmute yourself and then start speaking.
*7?
That was right. I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes,
okay.
Rosario?
Yes, I'd like to say that these five tracks, I mean, all the topics have been hit. Michael has done a tremendous job of really looking at all the different dimensions. Since the topic was across the ontology life cycle, I mean, we're talking about different levels of the evaluation and assessment process. One is the specification. When you specify the ontology, you know, what are the layers of that specification? Not just the content, but what is it for? And that specification already tells you a little bit of what are going to be the metrics for evaluation. So I think that is, sort of differentiating between what is the specification of the ontology and, what are the different dimensions. I think that is actually, I'm trying to look at the Michael's, so that is actually of the dimension of ontology evaluation, which is pretty much a specification. The other thing is once the ontology, building the ontology, that has to do with the ontology quality. He already talks about that in best practices in terms of the building, and then in terms of the using. What makes an ontology usable for domain experts? And really differentiating maybe what's with the, what kinds of ontologies we craft, for maybe to have a formal set of domain assertions, assertions about the domain, formalizing that versus ontologies or layers or APIs that are going to help the user. So to make a, to summarize my points, maybe relabel and refactor some as ontology specification, ontology building, and ontology evaluation by users. And then also having across these three phases too, which is the more formal ontologies and the ontologies that make it easier for domain users. So there's actually, it seems to me that when I work with ontologies, some of them are very formal, some of them are really tailored to make the lives of domain experts users. And I wonder if there is kind of two dimensions in each of these tracks.
Okay, thank you for that. I think you had a kind of summary there. If you could put that summary on the chat of what you were saying so that we can take it into account, that would be very useful.
You mean on the chat?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
On the Soap Hub. Yeah, that's
okay.
Probably where we're most likely to capture that accurately. I don't know how to put your hand down, but you need to do that. Peter.
Oh, yes, it's a chair. You can click on his hand and that will lower, but Rosario or anyone can click on your own hand, click the hand button again and that lowers it too. So I had the process suggestion is, for people to maybe type out their remarks first and then talk about it, then people can read on it and maybe respond. And also, since we are collecting a lot of input, please write in some context. Don't just say yes, because if you say a yes to something that's three or four lines about your remark, it will totally not make sense afterwards. So say yes to at least, or yes to Jack Ring's remark or whatever. I also want to have a few other suggestions on the tracks, but I will come back to it later after I capture that onto the chat.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Okay, so me next then. I've joined the queue as well. The one thing that I want to see added is it's been mentioned, but it's just about where to add it, is lessons from information quality management, because ontologies are used in the end to produce information. They either hold it directly or you query it to provide information to support decision taking of one sort or another. And I'd like to see how you can use that to ground probably the other things, because ultimately it's the information that it produces and its use that gives the value to the ontology. And so that can be a good way to ground it. And I will write that in again. Okay, that's me. Todd. You need to unmute yourself. Todd, we can't hear you. I think it's star 7 to unmute. I still can't hear you. Hello?
He's coming
Sorry
up now.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. I'm now on?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry for that.
That's okay.
One question I had, and goes to Michael's listing or identification of ontology life cycle, and what I think is important for this summit is what is the relationship of an ontology life cycle to what is commonly referred to as the engineering life cycle? Are they the same thing? Are they different in some fashion? In any case, I think the summit needs to identify that to help people understand what needs to be done or what does not need to be done.
Right. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. I'm just going to have to leave for just a moment. I've got someone at the door. Michael, could you take over until I get back, please? Should be a couple of minutes.
Yep. All right. Okay.
Thank
Michael,
you. Sorry about that.
Okay.
That's all right. One other item. In that list of things in terms of what the life cycle includes, we also have to include the actual operation or consideration of the operation. So your development may be brilliant and everything looks great in testing, but you put it out in the field and things start not working. So again, this gets back to the point of what is an ontology life cycle.
Right. Well, and that's actually why I actually put in the phrase life cycle, because I wanted to make sure that people weren't just focusing in on, oh, here's an ontology that crossed my desk. I'm looking at this and trying to evaluate it, that there is this broader context, but that broader context has to do, a lot with, kind of how that ontology was developed, why it was being developed, and how it's being applied. And so I was using the life cycle as that way of kind of capturing everything from looking at requirements, through to implementation. And again, I'm not, this is not like a waterfall, model. I'm not saying that there is a uniform thing that everyone calls the ontology life cycle, but the idea that there is some kind of life cycle for an ontology was the reason I wanted to use that as a way of broadening the scope just a little bit.
Well, I think it has to be very broad, but my question to the participants is, do we want to have this notion of ontology life cycle be aligned closely with what's usually referred to as engineering life cycle? I think it's very important. It will help clarify some of the issues, but also it will help in convincing people that this is not some new magic that where you have to change everything that you're doing in order to make use of this capability. That is, it's already part or aligned with and consistent or congruent with what you're doing now.
Okay. Mike Bennett?
And I'm back now, Michael.
Hi there. Yep, I've unmuted, I hope. Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Fantastic. So I'd like to start by heartily endorsing the previous point about framing ontology life cycles in line with conventional life cycles, because the point I was going to make, which I wrote in the chat earlier, you know, sometimes we talk about, one person talks about ontology development and ontology requirements and what life cycle it should follow, with some inbuilt assumption that what they mean by an ontology is an RDFL operational application in ERISA or something, and that of course is an ontology, but somebody else might have exactly the same conversation when what they mean about an ontology as a domain ontology, or you know, an ontological model of the terms across a whole domain, which may be too large and too diverse to ever be part of some application. So I think one needs to step back and say, you know, what are the ways that ontologies can be used, and how do those fit into the relevant development life cycles? So, for example, I can see two life cycles that are equally useful just out of the many that are there. One would be when you develop a business-facing ontology to capture and then validate that you've formally captured some business domain knowledge and to capture that with the business folks, and then extract a subset of that in RDFL to create a reasoner-based application for some specific use case. And there, of course, you have all the same considerations for that ontology application as you have for any application in terms of both its technical and its business requirements. You could then take that same ontology and use it to develop a conventional technology database-based application, or even some hybrid of the two, or some application that does, you know, Sparkle-based querying across a set of conventional data stores or something. So within one development lifecycle, you may have more than one artifact that's an ontology, and one ontology that you're thinking about may fit into different places in the development lifecycle than somebody else might assume was the only place an ontology could fit in the lifecycle. So we need to, that's I think the track two on the whole kind of application framework. We need to really do that, because otherwise, you know, each of us is in danger of bringing our own assumption of what we do with ontology as being the single and only thing that an ontology actually is.
Yeah, good point, Mike.
Thanks.
Fabian.
Hi, I think Michael partially answered my question. So my question was about clarification, what the dimensions are that you're talking about, because the list is rather diverse, and that there are actually two ways of looking at this dimensions. One is you can classify the different activities that are currently done under the heading of ontology evaluation, because there are, you know, very different approaches, and it's not obvious how they relate to each other. So you can classify them to get an overview of what is actually done currently. And then the other part is to look at the kinds of aspects or the kinds of properties of ontologies that you want to evaluate, because they are relevant at least in some contexts. So, for example, maybe consistency is a very simple example for one of these properties, which would be in that kind of classification. The other classification of methods would be whether it's automatic or whether it's human, completely relying on human. So I'm just saying that I wasn't sure which level of what the dimensions are that we're talking about. Are the dimensions of the evaluation, or the dimensions of the quality of the ontologies that are evaluated?
I was thinking of it as being just different dimensions of the ontology being evaluated. So, you know, again, I hate using the word context. I find context kind of be a lazy word. They're kind of like a rug in which you sweep everything. And so, although I maybe use dimension in the same way, but the idea being that, you know, when people talk about, you know, how am I evaluating the ontology, it's like, you know, people talk about verification as one way of looking at all kinds of techniques there. People use the word quality, and there's a whole bunch of ideas there. People use the word metrics, you know, and there's all these different ways in which people are evaluating, and they're going to, you know, they're kind of independent of each other to some extent. And so I'm worried that sometimes people will kind of say, well, this is, you know, presume what they mean by ontology evaluation. and the idea of this track would be making all these explicit. So when they say, I've evaluated this ontology, you would be very explicit about how it was evaluated. I mean, that was the intent there.
Okay, but then I would suggest that we need a place where we talk about the different techniques that are already used relating to each other.
Right, so the techniques I was thinking would be the best practices, but I mean, we can change that. What do you mean by techniques?
Well, there are people who are evaluated by peer review. Mm-hmm. And there are people who try to do it with, just throwing data against an ontology and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. So, if your ontology contains an axiom which says all swans are white and your data contains a black swan, you just learned something, right? Or another way of doing this is using unit tests like you do in your methodology. I mean, these are very different techniques which check for different things. Mm-hmm. For example, the technique you proposed together with, I don't remember who your co-author was, but that is more or less about completeness of the ontology. While, the kinds of peer review things that Barry does he's usually not looking at completeness. So I'm just saying that there's a rather mixed bag of ontology evaluation techniques that have been proposed and are used already. And one thing to look at is to classify them and look at what they are actually evaluating and how they
that sounds
what
useful.
They're good for in which context.
That sounds useful. Could we add? Would it be appropriate to add techniques to best practices, which I think is already there? Just say.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd suggest that's what we
yeah.
do then.
Sounds like a great idea.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
That's Fabian. Rosario.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So I'm probably going to rehash a little bit of what's been talked about. Because what I meant, when I introduced this kind of three ways or three faces in which you're looking at requirements and so on, is these are the kind of meanings for evaluating the ontology. So at first, and I think I'm kind of in violent agreement with Michael, at first I'd like to know what are the different ways in which I can specify an ontology? What are the kinds of things that I can say about the kind of ontology that I want? It may be that the ontology is already out there, but how do I figure it out? And, there's been a lot of work being done on semantic web services, trying to figure out, okay, how do I describe something that I need or I want to build or something? And so that's the specification area. Now, there's a second kind, and again, I don't mean to put this in as if it was an engineering process, because it's not. The second kind of thing is, once I know what I want, how can I evaluate that something that either I've built or somebody else has built conforms to that? And we're talking about, soundness, completeness, the quality, how something really does the job that I intended to do. And the third part is, because we are dealing with ontologies that people will eventually wanna work with, domain experts, and I think, I think that this is, to me, is one of the most important issues. How do we make sure that whatever is being produced is clear enough for other people to understand or for domain experts to understand? Once we get to ontologies of a given size, they pretty much are kind of intertwined with the minds of the people that created them. So it's very hard for domain experts or even other people or even ourselves 6 months from now to make sure that we know what we were doing. Are there markers? Are there annotations that we can leave? Things that make things very simple. So actually, these are the three kinds of quality, ontology quality, that I would be looking for. And again, I think Michael has most of them. I didn't, maybe we could enter the domain, how do we make this available and usable to a wide range of people, maybe in one of the tags. But I think Michael has
all the ideas. I was proposing kind of a refactoring so that it would be clear in my mind. But maybe I'm the only one. So
definitely incorporate these ideas into this. That's a great way of fleshing out particular some of these track ideas. That's great.
And they may be interrelated, of course.
Clarity is one of the things that I would pick up on from an information management perspective, that if you don't understand, if the meaning isn't clear, then that's a problem. So, yes, I think that's something that I would expect to come out. Okay, Pavithra. You need to do *7 to unmute if you haven't done that already. Still can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello, Kenny. Okay. I'm looking at the slide that says theme, ontology life cycle. Generally ontology is developed as part of either a particular system or groups of systems. So the life cycle is addressed as part of the software or systems life cycle. However, we can define it for ontology by itself because but we do have to relate to how it's in the context of the whole groups of systems or whatever it's developed for. That's my correlation between ontology life cycle versus system development life cycle or software development life cycle another thing is among the themes we've spoken about requirements at a later time. Those are all part of metrics, of course, it's separate by itself, but things like requirements are part of the life cycle. So it's a little analysis and requirements, all of that part of stages of our life cycle. Life cycle generally is stages of development, usage, and disposal or usage and maintenance. That's what the life cycle should define. I think we need to do take all that into consideration.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Peter.
Yes, I made a post earlier. I totally agree. I mean, covering the full life cycle, grounding it to domain applications whose requirements and evaluation needs we will try to use. And in so doing, I mean, we could matrix the tracks with the applications, but that might be a little too difficult to handle. I had an offline discussion with Michael at one point, and he said maybe put that under application track. So within the application track, maybe we could consider subtracks for specific domains, like the use of ontology in standards, the use of ontology in harnessing data / big data, or if we think big data is too big, try to narrow that down to maybe research data, maybe ontology in life sciences, in earth sciences, in life sciences, in bio or medical informatics, etc., etc. Of course, these are all subject to availability of collaborators and collaborating communities as well as champions. At the end of the day, we might end up finding two or three of these, and I think that would form good subtracts that could do some real things which could provide the input as well as maybe some activities that we can do during the symposium days.
Hmm.
That's it.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
For now.
I'll wait. Till. Star 7 to unmute. We're not hearing you yet.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, so I will post my statement also in the chat. So this ontology, Open Ontology Repository Group, OOR, has developed a remarkable architecture for ontology development in a basically distributed, federated, heterogeneous, and so on fashion. And this is generalizing what there is in BioPortal already and includes storage and review of ontologies, logical reasoning, workflows, and so on. And it's also heterogeneous in the sense that you can also, there was UML, for example, mentioned, and BioPortal is only for OWL, and so other languages could be in there, also Common Logic. And we are just initiating some GitHub-style repository called OntoHub, and I just wonder whether this the architecture of this and maybe also some coding about this could be also subject of candidate track 5. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think it's important to remember that the key thing here is about how these things are used to evaluate ontologies, rather than just more stuff about them. But Alan, star 7 to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, fine. I'm repeating some things. There were technical problems. For some reason, my phone cut out, which I don't know. I'm back through Skype. One of the things which I, if we have, in evaluating ontologies, I think what counts as evidence for the criteria that we use or the style of things is really very important. And that usually means against some at least projected applications. And it may be more of a problem in the biomedical community than elsewhere, but there are a lot of claims made for what make for this or that is important to an ontology or isn't, without clear statements about what the consequences are for the people who are using it. Okay. The other thing I would say that if it's in the life cycle, that the criteria should include, we should be thinking about both things, which are how the internal to the ontology, how the ontology is used in software, and how the ontology interacts with people, whether people can actually understand it and use it. One of the problems that we have in the medical community with a number of the large terminologies is that though there is enormous precision potentially in the terminology, the inter rater reliability in making the discriminations between these fine details is more or less zero. So there's a human dimension to this which needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, I think there's something about purpose, isn't there? Yes.
Yes. And
okay.
It affects both things like discrimination, and there are many ontology equivalents. The right ones read never programming constructs, and ontologies which are extraordinarily difficult for the outsider to penetrate.
Yes. Well, that's most of them, of course. Okay. Thank you, Alan. Peter.
I totally agree with Till, and at a recent OR meeting, we actually asked ourselves, I mean, what could OR, how could OR help in this summit, and what can OR get out of the summit with so many great minds chiming in? And we say, let's maybe present ourselves as, I mean, if we put an analogy to software engineering, let's say, let's make OR the SourceForge or the GitHub of ontology. So yes, plus one to having OOR as the platform or the environment to instantiate ontology evaluation. And on that note, I've also documented maybe we could form implementation teams. The among one of the best extreme programming teams I've seen is Till Mosakowski, and his group's work on getting OntoHub up. I mean, they developed an entire ontology repository within like 2 weeks. So if they could pull some people, a team together, or maybe other groups that are doing real software development coding, can pull some team, a few, maybe we can have a few pairs of extreme programmers, and then as ideas gets discussed, these teams could actually be implementing those things on the side, and at the end of the 3 months, we could get together and demo all this work and possibly integrate or do a test bed whereby all these things can start to fall together. So besides okay. those, and we might also have other implementation teams. As Ken was mentioning, we did talk about this last time, but it's really coming through this year. Maybe we could start doing a something on a semantic wiki, entering all the inputs into a semantic wiki so we can do some ontologically driven or semantically driven enhancements or when harnessing these inputs this year, and that we could use a team as well. And besides, I know IAOA has a team that's working on social media. Maybe we could also get their help to work on public relations, marketing, and sort of generally help spread the word into the social media as well.
Yeah, okay, that sounds interesting, Peter. One of the things it seems to me that you might hope to get out of this summit then is an objective way of evaluating ontologies that are in the OOR so that people who are looking at those ontologies would have a better idea of what they might be good for.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the idea. Yeah. It's good to sort of co-evolve. I mean, I would say the objective ways would probably come out of the discourse in the summit, and then OOR people or the OOR extreme programming team might sort of start to incorporate some of those ideas into sure. the architecture and possibly implement it.
So distinguishing between subjective and objective evaluation criteria might be a key thing to be able to do then. That's interesting.
Yes.
Thanks, Peter. And Natalie. Star 7. Are you there, Natalie? We can't hear you yet. Star 7 to unmute.
Do you listen to me?
Yes, we can hear you, Natalie.
Yeah, well, many of you regard ontology like system engineering or software engineering artifact. And this is good, but there is one more perspective. Recently, we discussed that ontology is a standard. And how people evaluate a standard? There is many different processes of evaluating standards, multi-stage, and very special methods, for example, three practical implementation, and after this is trusted standard in several of standard consortium. You know about procedures of fast track, like hierarchical evaluation of standards with people that is more and more expert and that have a wider and wider usage. And in ISO 15926, we have a federation of reference data library that is essentially ontologies. That is deeply connected with trust and standard system. For example, you have part of ontology that people evaluate good as good, have fast track up to hierarchy of RDL up to ISO level, international standard organization. And I think that this perspective is very interesting too, and ontology evaluated as a standard and not as engineering artifact. But maybe standard engineering artifact, but the procedures another, patterns another, process another, life cycle another. And maybe this is will be interesting for this summit. Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie. Yes, I mean, reuse, something that is reused is more or less the definition of what a standard is. So, and reuse is one of the themes we have, I think, in evaluating ontologies. So that's very interesting. If you have a reference for standards evaluation, it would be helpful if you could post that on the SOAP Pub. Thanks, Natalie. Fabian.
I wanted to take on as issue that Alan mentioned when he distinguished between evaluation of ontologies as part of IT systems and the human use. And this relates also to what is an ontology lifecycle. I think we need to distinguish different kinds of ontology evaluations with respect to the time when they are done. So there are certain ontology evaluations that you do during the development phase, which is assume it's part of an IT system, you have some requirements gathered from the IT system and you can evaluate against those. Then you have ontology, the use of ontology, which might, ideally your requirements have something to do with the intended use, but there might be a difference. So that's later in the game. And I think particularly if you look at ontologies which are used for annotating texts, then you can really, have experiments and see whether the people who are using the ontology are using the terminology consistently. That gives you one measurement of the quality of the ontology. And then you have a completely different situation when somebody from a third party tries to identify an ontology that is useful for him or her in a given project. Because then you're not interested in measuring progress like in a doing ontology development, and your requirements are clearly normally not fitting to the requirements that have been used in order to develop the ontology. So you have a different situation again. And I think so when we talk about the ontology lifecycle, I think we can use that in to place different kinds of evaluations which are appropriate at different times or during different stages of the use of ontology.
Right, that was always my intent. Thank you for articulating it that way, Fabian.
Okay, thank you, Fabian. Todd?
Well, I guess I'll expand a bit on what Fabian said, but I want to bring up some other points, and I believe I've heard it from at least two of the speakers, Alan being the most recent. In terms of end users, well, in many of the situations I'm familiar with, the end user of the ontology never sees the ontology or its content, and perhaps never should. But that itself is an architectural question that has to be resolved. You know, if the ontology is primarily to be in the front of a user, then your requirements should have specified that. But then that brings up another aspect of the engineering life cycle. And that has to do with testing, and I believe Fabian touched on that a bit. If your use or the purpose of the ontology as represented in the requirements is to have a closer interaction with human users, then you may want to accelerate some of your testing. But again, that can be incorporated into the engineering lifecycle. And another aspect that I think we need to bear in mind is that An engineering or the engineering life cycle, however you want to denote it, is not necessarily a linear process. It can be done, for instance, by the agile method, where every time, every few weeks, you have some demonstrable portion of the thingy that you're creating available for testing and use. So again, I believe we still have to have some alignment in our summit with the notion of an engineering life cycle, but we should not think that the engineering life cycle is implemented in only a single fashion.
Okay, thanks, Todd. Yes. Jack. Jack Ring, that's star 7 to unmute. We can't hear you yet, Jack. No, still can't hear you. But still star 7 to unmute. No. Come back when you can then, Jack, another time. Tom. Star 7 to unmute, and then if you'd like to...
This is Tom.
Okay.
Yeah, my question is more in, a little bit along the lines of the target of where this is going, because even in accounting, you have certified accountants. We don't have certified ontologists, and yet the approach of what's being done is actually to come up with those things that would allow for things like certification. But my question is more around why not reach a little higher and think in terms of organization and some control. An example would be ICANN was put in place to allow the Internet to grow. If it had never been done, there would be no Internet. There has to be a little bit of governance in order to make things happen. So in this effort, is there some thought about addressing some overall, really it has to be an international community, to establish the rules for setting up domains, all the kind of things that need to be done in order to have proper integration and understanding of where the authorities really are for all these domains?
Well, that's certainly an ambitious thing to go for there, Tom.
I understand it is, but I think what's happening is that the groundwork for accomplishing that is that's what this is about.
I hope we would do here would enable us to take a step towards that. Yes, that we would be able to understand which were the important things and which were the less important things, and which are the things that just make things different, and that those are all things that one would then be able to understand. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Thank you very much, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Pavithra.
Yes, the discussions that we are having right now, it's on page 12, right? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you went very sort of strange for a moment.
Okay. The discussions that we are discussing right now is on page 12, right? Do we have to today come up with who we are going to collaborate with or identify experts? When do you have to do what's on page 12 on the slide?
Page 12. Can we just see what that is?
Is that tomorrow? Is that on the next?
Well, ideally we could, identify people today. I mean, it kind of presumes we've identified. We've come to some consensus on the topics and tracks because that usually determines who the champions are. I think what we want to do, actually this might be also a question for Peter. I mean, do we want to identify track champions today, or at least identify the tracks and some potential people that we can approach as being champions? The expert speakers, invitees, that will kind of be done by the track champions for each of their specific tracks.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, I agree with Michael. Definitely identify the champions, identify the volunteers who would join us in the organizing committee. We don't have to finalize on them. I guess we can finalize on who's running what tomorrow, but we'll have to finalize on who's coming tomorrow. to the meeting. Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to know whether we have to accomplish what's on page 12 and 13 today, or we're going to continue tomorrow.
Other thing is the application
part of the slide, that's interoperability. We've discussed that in the one of the most accepted application or usage of this ontology is, interoperability, and that's part of slide, or, track four. And I kind of figured it out. That's where I would have some interest. But we've discussed that in our past presentations about interoperability. So we can move on. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think where we are at the moment is, if we go to slide 12, is we're on looking at the approaches and the topics tracks, and most of what we've been discussing has been refining the tracks that we might have. I think with others who have commented on it, that Michael's actually done an excellent job of setting out the range, but there have certainly been some things suggested that would refine or expand some of those tracks or set the context for them. So I've just been letting that run its course because that's what people seem to be wanting to focus on at the moment. But yes, we should indeed get on to the other items here.
So I thought we could just let Jack, he has his hand up again, and Fabian, and then we'll kind of, I wanted to move on to these last points here, the questions 1, 2, and 3 I just posted.
Yeah, I think that's good. Okay, so then Jack. *7 to unmute. We can't hear you.
Maybe Fabian go on and we'll see if Jack gets on.
Fabian, then, please.
Am I on mute?
Nope.
No, we can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to suggest that we don't try to nail down the exact wording of the threads and make decisions, but rather use this as as an input session, and then tomorrow the organizers can make the decisions, because with such a large group, it would take too long to come work on the thing.
I think that's what we were planning to do. I mean, we'll be able to pick up the chat in particular, which was why I was asking people to make sure that any key points they made were in the chat so that they don't get lost. And then Michael and I will try to synthesize that and look at what adjustments to the tracks we think might be appropriate. Okay, Jack, can you speak yet? No. Okay, then let's move on to collaborators.
Well, no, I just want to do a little bit of a check here. So as Fabian said, there's a lot of detail coming up in the chat, but I just want to get just a global picture first of all. Do people feel that there are any missing tracks? Do people feel that any of the tracks should be split or merged? Because these are more global kinds of things. I think if there are if people have additional topics that can already fit into one of these existing tracks, then we can let the participants of that track kind of start the ball rolling there. Also, if there are any tracks that people feel are superfluous and should not be included. Joanne asked a question earlier about how many tracks. In the past few years, last year there were four tracks and two cross tracks. The year before there were five tracks. The year before that there were three plus a synthesis one. So I guess that's sort of like four. So it's kind of like if we have five tracks, that would probably be about maximum.
I would agree. I don't think you want more than that.
No.
The question then would become, if there was material that was important that didn't seem to naturally fit, how would you adjust the track so there was one that it did fit in?
Precisely. precisely.
But I'm not sure, I mean, from what I've scanned, my take is that the tracks are pretty good, and there's some additional material, mostly, or some clarification in some of them that would add value to the program. That's been how it's felt to me. I don't know if there's anyone that has a contrary view to that. Peter?
Yeah, I would still think the application subtrack proposal warrants some consideration, especially in light of our ability to get the right people or go out to grab the right people to provide those.
Sorry, is this a proposed additional track?
It's a proposed not splitting, but making different domain specific application groups that would provide, that would inform how specific domains would evaluate their ontologies.
Right. So okay. Yeah, it's Peter's comment at 1 hour in, I guess. That's 59 minutes in, 1329 Eastern time. But I think that's the comment you're referring to, Peter?
Yes. I don't have the time stamp on my chat room. Some people can. I mean, actually, if you can set it up for that. Okay. But yes, that's something I documented already.
Okay, I got it then. Yeah. Okay. So I definitely, yeah.
That's something we'll be looking at how we can work in. Then, Steve.
Yeah, sorry, I'm having real dropout problems on Skype here, but I was just looking at tracks 2 and 4 and thinking that the things we're coming up with on track 4 might basically be things we're fitting into the framework on track 2, and there might be a lot of overlap there. So I just wanted to put that out there for people to think about.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Okay, sounds good. Yep. Todd?
To Steve's suggestion about track 4 and 2, one of the things I don't see or I hadn't heard or haven't seen represented explicitly are the evaluation techniques that have been referred to by a couple of the speakers. And my view of things is that in order to figure out what you need to do, you have to, in terms of evaluation, you have to look at your requirements, which go hopefully represent your purpose of that thing and then would suggest what you need to do. So it's not clear to me, A, where the techniques, specific techniques come in, and then why should we focus on particular application domains? Do they have something that, is there going to be large differences in the evaluation techniques among different application domains, or should they be driven just from the requirements that are needed for that domain?
Well, right. So, Todd, so first of all, so the techniques you don't feel are covered with track 3?
Say again?
Would track 3 cover the techniques? Slide 9.
3. Well, you're talking about ontological analysis, and I thought the summit was about evaluation.
Well, we can broaden that to be best practices in ontology evaluation. I think that was already a suggestion.
Okay.
And then the other part was, like track 2 with the application framework was meant to kind of have that, application focus, and the idea being that different applications may in fact, require different criteria and use different techniques for evaluation.
Well, regarding the criteria, is that going to be covered under the dimensions of ontology
evaluation? Yeah, so if I were to change the names, it would be like criteria for evaluation in track 1. The role of ontology applications in evaluation track 2, best practices and techniques for ontology evaluation track 3. You know, if track 4 is kind of like really being addressed kind of in all of the above, then yeah, track 4 kind of gets subsumed into that.
No, I don't think it is. That the issue of the requirements is always a continuing problem in any sort of large scale development. I do recognize that in smaller projects, you may not need to have as much emphasis on requirements. You may be closer to the end users. But for larger projects, a clear understanding of what needs to be done, i.e. the requirements across all of the groups that are working, is always a problem. And as was pointed out, how you, if you like, translate larger or more vague customer requirements into specifics about your ontology is, I believe, still a fuzzy subject.
Yeah, I saw this as coming into the life cycle part of things, that the, one of the key
right.
parts of the life cycle is developing the requirements. And then a, an important later stage is measuring the output against the requirements and see if it meets it. And that would be part of the evaluation. So there are actually two levels of evaluation as you go through the life cycle. One, evaluating the quality of the requirements, and a later one, evaluating the quality of meeting those requirements, how well you've met those requirements. So that was one of the reasons why, I mean, I was originally not really clear why life cycle was in the heading, but it was when that penny dropped that there was requirements and then evaluation against requirements that made sense. So one thing I think we should do though is have the word requirements somewhere in this text, in these tracks and maybe in more than one place. So I think that's a key word to be in there in one or more places, and it's missing at the moment.
Well, then it gets back to the question of this application framework and what it's going to address.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and each application for that matter. I think that one of the things I've been saying on the Exploder is that very often we criticize an ontology, and it's not because it doesn't meet the requirements it was designed to, it's because it doesn't meet our requirements, which are different from that, and that's just not fair. But people don't realize that's just not fair very often, so it's just another artifact that's designed to meet requirements, and it can only reasonably be expected to meet the requirements it's been designed to meet. If you wanted it to meet some other requirements, well, you've got to get those in before it's designed. Okay, we really need to move on.
Matthew, Michael, are you still there?
The moderator has left the conference.
You back?
Hello? Yes, I'm back. Looks like if one calls the number still works, but people on Skype seems to be dropped because the phone bridge people has lost their Skype connection.
Anyone else on the line besides you and I, Peter?
There should be about 10 people online. Ken, Mike Dean, Terry Longstreth, should be about 10 people out there.
I can hear you, so.
Yes. Right.
How many
I
people were there before the drop?
We can continue on the chat. Let's
just ask people to Skype in again.
Right, right.
Peter?
Yeah.
Was today's session supposed to end at 2:30 Eastern Time?
Yes.
Okay.
So in about 10 minutes.
Well, for everyone listening, I saw Michael's response, and it's not clear to me that we've come to a sort of agreement on the tracks.
I think we have a lot of details, inputs, which Michael and Matthew will have to synthesize and make a call. The next major business actually is to identify who is going to be on the team, because then the organizing committee has the call has to make the call on what is in and what is not in. I mean, we can't be everything to everyone in the end. And of course, the two general co-chairs get to make the final decisions.
Sounds good.
So,
So are people just indicating whether they would be interested in being champions, and then the co-chairs pick their team?
I guess we start with people showing interest that they will want to be on the organizing committee, and then at the organizing committee we can further, I mean, we can define the tracks and then further assign or have people volunteer for track championship.
Hi, Fabian. So what's up? Sorry.
Sorry? Is that Michael?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Let you back. So I was saying maybe we only have about 12 people on the call, but some people are still on the chat. One of the, we can't finalize on the tracks, but we definitely want to find out who is going to be part of the organizing committee. That way, tomorrow we could finalize on the tracks and then have people volunteer to run those tracks, to champion those tracks. So I made a post about 10 lines up, finding out who is trying to find out who is coming.
Right.
So,
I haven't seen anybody volunteering yet.
So,
our technical difficulties.
And if you are planning to join the organizing committee, please confirm. To please indicate on the chat now.
I did that already, Peter.
Okay.
Sorry, Fabian, what were you going to say?
I just suggested that since we have the technical difficulties, maybe we just should make the, just write down that everybody who wants to participate should participate tomorrow, and then close the call for today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just type that in the chat then.
Thank you, Michael Peter. I have to run to another meeting. Have fun.
Thanks.
Bye.
So, Fabian? Fabian, you on?
Sorry, yes, I'm on.
Oh, so what's your kind of overview of these tracks then? Is it a reasonable kind of first approximation that can be kind of...
Well, I think you started to rephrase, I don't know which what the response was directed
right.
to, but you started to rephrase, I think, to Todd, the tracks, and that made it clearer.
Okay.
So, I think there seems to be wide agreement on that these tracks cover everything and just some minor adjustments. The only exception might be I'm not sure what the consensus was, that the trying to implement something is really subsumed by the existing application tracks or with its own thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so I'll send out an email later here about, yeah, just changing best practices in ontology evaluation.
I really would like to have some place where we collect techniques people are already using,
mm-hmm.
Or at least have been proposed, which might be a different thing. But, well, more importantly, the things that are already using and whether there are any tools that people are already using. Because, I'm under the impression that there is not much use of ontology evaluation techniques in practice, in spite of the fact that there is quite a vast literature on it.
So you think that the best practices is kind of not capturing what people are doing, what people would like to do, and that we need another track that actually captures what people are doing?
Well, I don't know whether it needs to be its own track, but it should be, don't you think that it needs a home and that we have an overview of what people are already doing?
Right, so I would think that would be the best practices, track 3.
Okay.
Is this a continued discussion, or shall we tell everyone the meeting has occurred?
Yeah, okay, we should tell everyone the meeting's over.
I'll let you have the order.
Okay.
We can take this up tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I'll see you all then.
Okay, bye.
Yes, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Talk to you later.